This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boydaderis, Sandy Carney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. This is your weekly podcast about gamification, gaming technology, and play. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization which we have been, are, or will be affiliated. This is GamesAtWork.biz in episode 74, 4K Gaming, was recorded on Friday, September 27th, 2013. Hello, this is Michael Martin, and welcome again to yet another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. I'm coming to you again, as I'm used to coming to you, from my office here in Budapest, Hungary. And I am delighted, very, very, very happy to be, unfortunately, I'm the only co-host, so I will be the co-host to announce that we have yet another co-host that is joining the team with Phaedra and Michael, who could not be here today. And that is Sandy Carney. And I'm so happy that she's here with us today. We've known her for quite a while. Michael and I have interacted with her and Phaedra as well over many years. Welcome to the show as a co-host.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's great to be here. And I'm here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania this morning on this great Friday.
Hopefully with nice temperatures and a good weekend ahead.
Oh, it's been beautiful. Beautiful weather here. We're in the 70s. It's a wonderful fall feel. And we're really, really looking forward to the next few days of continued good weather. Much better than last year at this time, by the way, when we were bracing for hurricanes at this part of our coast. So
That's right. That was just last year in September, wasn't it?
That's right.
So, to introduce you a little bit more to our audience, we know that you are a professor, you are a non-for-profit leader, you wear about 22 different hats. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing at Villanova and Immaculata, and maybe introduce what e426.org is doing for these days?
So, Michael, you're right. I'm wearing a lot of hats, but ones I really am enjoying and that have been very, very productive and fruitful in many, many ways. So the core work that I have is with my not-for-profit organization called e426.org. We are an emerging think tank. We were born of the Brain Trust that started to surface in about 2008, 2009. We married up with many small businesses who needed somebody who could begin to tell them about all the emerging technology and how they might use it and what they might do with it in an affordable fashion. And then we also paired up with some associations. We've done some work with IEEE in the virtual spaces, several universities, colleges, companies, large and small organizations. So it's just a very small, nimble, entrepreneurial think tank that's spending a good bit of time on emerging technology today and evolving innovative technology, if you will. So that's been a lot of fun. And then I paired that up with a lot of work at various universities. Specifically in my area, I teach as a professor at Villanova University. I teach emerging technology and I teach leadership and business there. And I teach emerging technology and I run the emergency planning and management program and the professional studies program at Immaculata University. So it's somewhat disparate, it seems, but the reality of it is it's meant to be in today's marketplace of consumer education and, you know, teaching adult learners and kind of evolving all of us. As we know, generative learning is so important and something that we'll do for all of our lives. So that's where I spend most of my days, many of my evenings. I teach online, I teach on campus, I teach on site at major corporations, and then work virtually whenever I'm not doing those things.
This is amazing, and I'm learning more about you too as we're going along. And knowing you, you are certainly a dot connector, a bridge builder. And just because I'm curious about it, is there a linkage that you might say between emerging tech and games and gamification and emergency planning from what you've just described? And do you draw a thread through all those?
Very much so. And really, it brings up a great discussion, kind of what I would call a little bit of a retro discussion on games at work, because I've always been involved with games at work. It's, you know, we think of it as something new. Really, it's just more enabled. But, you know, my time in the military, I spent, you know, when I was at the Pentagon working in alternative futures, we looked at, you know, war gaming, and that's been a stay in the planning processes for the government for a very long time. At the time I was there, we were approaching, you know, great concepts around peace gaming. And I know you've, in your history, have done some work around that space as well. But, you know, that leads us to today. In our emergency planning and management space, you know, we run board exercises, just like a board game of all of these possible scenarios. And you can run those in many, many different directions. As I said at the start of our show today, you know, a year ago, that's what we were doing, is trying to plan what would Hurricane Sandy, as luck would have it, what would it look like? How would it play out? You know, I had no even personal idea on that one because I live reasonably inland, and yet we were affected pretty heavily because of the wind damage. We were on the backside of the highest winds here. So we played all that out, and we did that on boards. We do that in, and we use new technology to try it out through games. You know, it's whether you look at the response teams, you know, first responders or the first receivers in a hospital, the reality of it is, you know, it's very easy to bring that all together if you can do that in a gaming scenario. Very serious business, something that I'm been enjoying, and now as it ties into emerging technology, we're seeing it, the reality. So I call it the HD of gaming is happening because we can see sort of the instant results through our visuals and our sensory pieces of gaming now that we would not have seen, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago even. So we're seeing that today as well. So they get instant feedback, which means they can not only change the process, but change the behaviors that are aligned with it in that particular space. So there are great connections there, Michael, and it's ever evolving. And the part I like about it best is it's evolving from what we would call operators in the field, not technologists. These are people that are in operations that are demanding that we do these kinds of things in order for them to be better prepared, in order for them to think of potential problems and fix them in advance of the actual crisis or concern or situation as it unfolds. And think about it, you know, again, I'm on university campuses, so nationwide, you know, the whole university campus concept of sort of running a board game of what might happen is very real, and it goes on regularly now, and those things didn't happen at all. I mean, if they were even discussed on a university campus 10 years ago, you know, it was minimal discussion and planning only by a safety office, and now you have the entire executive staffs involved in these kinds of activities.
With the thinking that I've been doing recently around analytics and crowdsourcing and social business in general, it would seem to me that this HD version of gaming with the instant feedback and being able to help the, as you said before, the operators in the field act and react to what they need to. It's easy to see a melding of all of these elements that need to come together as scenario building happens for a catastrophic event, or to be able to be prepared for an unexpected event, but to be open to data sources and streams coming in to help a safety officer or an emergency planning organization to be able to take the appropriate next step in actions. How do you see those things coming together?
Well, you know, it is so complex. These systems are very, very complex. But, you know, it kind of brings me to a discussion we just had yesterday in a meeting talking about, you know, what role our public safety plays in a university or not. And, you know, we discussed the fact that actually the best responses on universities have been social media. It's been more effective, really, than even arming police officers because of prevention. So if I can instantly let you know what's going on and you can act, you don't walk into a scenario, you don't make it more complex. But what's ironic about that is, of course, you know, the younger generations understand it and have embraced devices and social media, whereas on university campuses, the elder generation has not done that. So you have a lot of faculty members who they're still carrying around analog phones if they've got that. And so, you know, we've just kind of embraced this. Well, why don't we create a game where you could, you know, learn the value of this, because it can change the game completely, and it's more proactive and preventive versus the reactive scenario. And, you know, that's been playing out. So there are definitely these connections, Michael. And it's, you know, again, I think the piece that's most important is for people to process through this in advance of it actually happening, the feedback really important loop. And then you brought up another really important piece that we're starting to see built into the processes now, which is collecting the data so that we can provide the analytics later. You know, that was never done, not even in any of the existing video game consoles was that a consideration until about 5 years ago, that, oh, by the way, we might be able to determine some behavior if we actually see the analytics of how people play, what they play, where they play, why they play, and begin to answer those questions. It's very much the same thing when you look at these larger strategies and these larger scenarios, whether it's in, you know, geopolitical scenarios as we see playing out today, you know, whether it's in local crisis response, you know, it's just totally ecosystem oriented, if you will, if I can borrow from our business ecosystem work. And again, I think that changes the flavor of games at work.
You know, I completely agree. And if I draw another experience that I had just this week, too, I was in Germany. I was in Wiesbaden and presenting a keynote on the subject of business process management and how that's helpful to organizations to really enable change and get to a point, too, where you don't need IT to go make changes to business rules. You can have business people making changes to business rules. Well, there was an outstanding presentation given by a colleague immediately after mine from the Netherlands. And I'll make sure that I get a Will's pages linked into the show notes on this, too. And what he was describing, he's a professor at the University of Eindhoven in the Netherlands. And his research is focused on, instead of doing process models where you might have your entity relationship diagrams and you would have your, you know, decision points and you're kind of branching one way or another, his concept is around process mining. So you can imagine that you could run an event or a game to model a kind of scenario. And many game players, I think, are a little bit like me. We try to break the rules a little bit or take a step that might not be expected. And every one of these steps could be captured with a timestamp, the thing that happened, and go forward from there. Well, this process mining concept says if you take all of those transactional events, you can now pull out of that a process model that says here's the path and decision trees and how things actually worked and how often people went through the happy path way from start to complete, how many deviations there might have been around some other areas, and you can really begin to understand the words he was using was the elephant paths. You know, like I'm sure this is the case at Villanova, really nice manicured lawns, really nice brick paths that are across those lawns, yet students cut across the lawns and kind of make their way more efficiently to a solution. Well, this is the sort of thing around process mining. You can pull that sort of path out of it and recognize where are people going and figure out why they're going there. And maybe that's the path you need to pave over because people are going to do that anyway.
Right. You know, it comes to mind as you say this, it would be fun to create a game where you could do what I would call institutional protocol versus this process mining, because I'm seeing that today play out where I'm at, and especially dealing with the emerging technology where it's not even a process. It's truly an existing institutional protocol that's driving everything that has not fit for decades. And so you talk about taking the path of efficiency. In reality, many of the paths I see people having to take go around some large building to avoid the institutional protocol. So it's just an amazing thing. And it's this game. It is an avoidance game, right? And it's a serious game. That's the other piece I find funny is, you know, we talk about this is sort of the formal games at work, but it brings to mind for me the informal games at work that people play in order to get things done. Right. And I see it very much in some of the spaces I'm in around these institutional protocols that people will go to great lengths for the avoidance game in order to get done what they need to get done to do their work.
So to make sure I understand that well, give me an example, if you can, of an institutional protocol avoidance game structure.
So I will genericize it to protect the innocent, but we have, you know, rules in these various locations that you won't, when you get on the wireless, you had to use the Cisco agent because the reality of it is they don't trust any kind of new technology. And so they have in place all these things to protect the wireless network and you blah, 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 blah. But it's really ineffective and it's really difficult to work with and it bogs down the system and, you know, it's hard to connect and it doesn't work. And, you know, you could spend 2 hours just trying to get into the network to do your job. Meanwhile, you walk over to the office and there's a nice wall with a wired connection and you plug it right into your personal computer and off you go.
I understand.
So, you know, you've just used the old monolith of a wired system to circumvent because institutional protocol says technology's scary, it's not safe, you know, we're not ready for it.
And in order to be safe, you need to jump through all these hoops to prove you are who you are, the safety
that's
around
right.
it, et cetera.
Or we're going to make it so impossible you won't use it. I mean, that's the building you're walking around, right? You know, as I say, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with any of Simon Sinek's work, the inspiring leaders and asking why, but he always says, you know, these are not early adopters and these are people that have rotary phone, don't have rotary phones only because they're not made any longer. Well, that's the kind of institutional protocol that I would see this process mining really be able to show them. But look, you know, the number of actual breaches of security or issues you've had, or, you know, they could show them that. I think that might make a big difference and help them to establish better processes. And of course, these are small examples. There's a lot of big ones. I think you could look at it in the, as I hate to say it, but I think you could probably take some of this and look at it in the Navy Yard scenario from just last week here in Washington, yeah. D.C. You know, there's an institutional protocol that was put in place that reality didn't, it didn't work. It doesn't work.
Well,
and so,
and you can circumvent any system if you understand the system well enough.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a sad thing. Phaedra and I actually talked about that a little bit on last week's show. And some of the articles that came out there too around the concept of video games create this kind of propensity towards violence and the misunderstanding and misrepresentation of that. There were some articles around that. We chatted about that, Fader and I, last week a little bit. I'm not seeing so much of that here in Hungary across the media here, but I understand it was very prevalent in the U.S. in the last week.
Well, and I'm looking at it, not even so much from that perspective, Michael, but from saying that the institutional protocol there said that you have a security clearance, therefore you're safe and it's secure.
Right.
And I think that would be a great strategy game that could be developed to say, how is it we can improve the classification and security system for people, for the human network in the United States or in the world? I mean, it doesn't have to be limited. But the reality of it is, you know, what if you played a game and you looked at that, you did that exactly as you described, as your colleague described, you process mine how people beat the game or how they do this or how they do that. And then you establish a system accordingly for clearances and for security and, you know, at least a framework to get us started that's not the leftover model from, you know, pre-World War II or whenever it was created, which desperately needs to be reworked in this country. So there'd be a great example of a game that could be played and created that would have real value.
So connecting that thought with some of the emerging technologies is something that Michael and I have talked about, Sandy, where there's new capabilities that Apple has built into their iOS 7 environment and the latest versions of the iPhone 5, CS, et cetera, that take use of something called iBeacons. And so the concept around an iBeacon is that it is a low power device that can sense the presence, again, if you allow it to do so through your own devices, of where you are, might be like in a room and be able to triangulate a little bit more granularly than you might if you're using cell towers. So it would be interesting to set up an experiment where you could do a much more granular tracking system, if we use a security as an example, security environment as an example, and then allowed the players some free rein to go and play the game. You know,
right.
You might get some
right.
social engineering that people wind up in places where they shouldn't be. You could find out that the amount of time it took for someone to do, you know, cross one place or another or look suspicious or not look suspicious. all kinds of interesting things could emerge, you know, from location-based technologies enabled like by these iBeacons and applying these sort of game principles in the security space.
Right. There is just so much opportunity, Michael. I mean, I think, you know, it's unfortunate that we're not doing more around that, more research around that, more action around that. But I think that that would be something looking out that, you know, some of these groups would want to be trying to do beyond the consumer groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not seeing it today. I'm seeing it. We're much more reactive.
Now, before we started recording, you'd mentioned that games for strategy is another area that you're interested in. You've got some examples that are starting to percolate there. Can you share a little bit more on that thought?
So I do. I have a colleague that I've been working with a bit over the last couple of months, and she works at a media company. And we had this big discussion about where media was headed, because we talked about how the changes have occurred, you know, to the 7-second commercial and, you know, non-wired. And she said that one of the things they're doing in their company is literally across, and it's a global company, is playing a game. And I would love to have her on one of our shows, Michael, to talk to us about the strategy game that they're playing. So it's the employees inside are developing the future strategy of the company via this game. And they earn virtual rewards for different things. It synthesizes the information. And again, it allows all, you know, all the employees to play in order to try to come up with a concept of the future for them to use as a strategy going forward, because they recognize that their business, media and marketing, is changing dramatically and is going to continue to change as technology changes. And again, you can just look at the, you know, 60-second commercial of a decade ago and the 7-second commercial today. And, you know, as she and I spoke about, I'm her worst nightmare, because I don't even have a wired television in my home. I don't have any programming TV, and I have a 4-year-old that doesn't know what a commercial is. So, you know, you think about these kids moving forward, and, you know, literally he has no idea what that is. So I would love to see what his strategy might be for her company. And but so, yeah, I would love to get her on a future show.
That would be awesome.
And have her tell us about the game, tell us how, you know, how they designed it, how they're playing, you know, what their hope is for the results, and, you know, sort of, you know, see where she takes that discussion and where they're at. Because I also had a discussion with her. They started it not too long ago. So probably by the time we have her here, they will see more results coming in and be able to synthesize it.
I would love to have that opportunity too. There's just so many interesting things that could be happening with product placement, with non-traditional media, with sponsored, you know, go back to the location-based kind of services, things that detect who you are, what your possibility might be of being a customer, and enticing you because you happen to be right where you are and in the frame of mind that you're in. I could see where a strategy game for a media company like this could play into a lot of different directions and really come up with a creative solution that will help them and their customers. I can't wait to have that conversation.
Right. I think the other place that I really am interested is in this sort of the games for education space, meaning games that work for me because I teach. And I had proposed last year giving a class as a game. So, you know, I haven't gotten approval on it yet, but I definitely would love to design it. And I've even said, you know, I may go out and try to do a Coursera course that, you know, would be 6 weeks of a game with the intent that I would teach this amount of curriculum inside that game. For me, that's work. You know, that's my business. And if I could be more effective in teaching by doing that at the university level, then, you know, so be it. I would love to try to do it, whether it's in my leadership class and I run them through, you know, 6 weeks of leadership exercises that are game oriented in order to teach them the various theories or whatever, or it's you know, emerging technology where they have to try and, you know, maybe buy virtually or do something to that effect to see how much I could teach them. If I could teach them more in 6 weeks or 8 weeks, if I could, you know, teach them differently, what that might be. So there's lots in this strategy space, not just reserved for media companies, but I think for any of us in any domain that are interested in the pursuit of it.
I love that thought, just on the surface, and as you delve even deeper, you know, you started earlier by talking about the HD of gaming, And it feels like what you're describing there is kind of moving us in the 4K version of gaming, you know? So it's
right.
Getting us deeper still. And while leveraging things that have been around for a long time, simulations, role plays, those kinds of things have been critical for leadership development over many, many, many years, and applying the game principles around them and reward structures only enhances it.
Right. And we know that, you know, leadership, most leadership is gained through experience. So if I can give you the experience, you know, through a game, then that puts you ahead of your peers, and it puts you ahead of the game yourselves in trying to go out into the real world to, you know, get done what it is that you need to get done. So all the better, there.
And giving the risk taking, you know, opportunity there where, you know, in a game, if you lose a life, it really doesn't matter. So getting people out of their comfort zone and being comfortable taking the risks that they need to is a gift in and of itself.
That's right. Yes. You and I have been in those leadership positions. Is it not? Very much so.
It is.
Very much so.
Well, this was a great introduction for our audience to you. It's great to have you as one of our co-hosts, and looking forward to the time when we have all four of us on at the same time. I know we've got some traveling and we've got work things coming in the next couple of weeks, but I'm sure we will have a whole cast of all four of us in short order, and can't wait for the next ones. So
thanks, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. And we're going to have a great, great time here. I know.
So we Michael, are. I'm very much looking forward to it, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael Federa. We missed you today and hope you guys are doing well. And to our listening audience, you know where to find us. We are on Twitter. We are on Google+. We are on Facebook. We have our own website. You can find us in lots of different places. Sandy, where can people find and follow you most easily?
I am on Twitter as well. That's probably the best place. And then through our site, e426.org, you can see some of the things that we're doing. And, of course, through the site here, the new blog and gaming.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, and have a great one. See ya.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.